الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين. Dear brothers in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned examples in the Quran. Examples of Anbiya alayhim as-salam. Like Ibrahim alayhi as-salam, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi as-salam, our Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has also mentioned examples of pious people who have supported Anbiya alayhim as-salam and others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned these examples because these examples, they teach us something called uluwul himmah. Uluwul himmah. Himmah, courage. Himmah yani a person's capacity to do something, a person's capability to perform something. Ulu, high. Meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal has given human being capacities. And usually we underperform because we undermine ourselves. We think, you know, this is how much I can do. I can go this far. This is my limit. MashaAllah, I'm doing well, so this is enough. When a person limits himself, when a person limits his abilities, and when a person limits his capabilities, then his performance will also become limited, because our amal is connected with our tasawwur. Tasawwur yani how we perceive ourselves, how we perceive our capacities, our capabilities. If we perceive them within certain limits, within certain boundaries, obviously our amal is not going to go beyond that. That is very normal. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Quran examples of Anbiya alayhim as-salam, so that we learn that Allah Azza wa Jal has given human being capabilities which he has to discover and which he has to recognize. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Ibrahim kana ummah. Indeed, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a nation. Ibrahim alayhi salam, kana ummah, he was ummah himself. If you look at it logically, Ibrahim alayhi salam, an individual, Ibrahim alayhi salam, no doubt, a Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal, a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he is an individual. He is an individual, no doubt. But Allah gave him himmah. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave him very ali himmah. Gave him high himmah. So with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, he knew that he can do so much. And he did. Alayhi salam. In his time, shirk was everywhere. Iman was very rare. In fact, there is a narration. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he went to Egypt with his wife, and there was a king who was not of a good character. Somehow the news reached the king that a traveler is around, and he also has a beautiful woman with him. So king wanted to see Ibrahim alayhi salam, he understood. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said to his wife that, look, if the king would ask you about us, you say that he is my brother. Because there are no believers other than me and you. And believers are brothers. Believers are brothers. So the story is long. He asked them, but Allah Azza wa Jal protected Sayyida, the wife of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was alone, but he did not say, how can I invite people towards Allah Azza wa Jal? Everybody is doing shirk. He continued his work. He was alone so much so that his father was not in his sight. Azar, he used to make idols himself. His people were not on his side. People used to worship stars, and people used to worship many, many gods. And we know how Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had istiqama, and how Allah Azza wa Jal told him to go and build the Kaaba, and he went alone with his wife Hajar and with his son Ismail alayhi salam, and they built the Kaaba on their own. How is that possible? Well, that is possible. If you want to do something, Allah will help you out. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you the courage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide all the resources. Allah Azza wa Jalla will prepare the environment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prepare the ground. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prepare the, all the necessary tools. And that happened. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he built the Kaaba. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Remember the time when Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was raising the foundations of the house, of the Kaaba, and Ismail, and they were praying, our Lord, accept from us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Indeed, you are the one all-hearing and all-knowing. The point, my brothers, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given human being capabilities. And once we trust ourselves, and once we believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, then we can go far and beyond. We can go far and beyond. And we see the examples even in Sahaba radiyallahu anhum and in Tabi'een. And in the ulama afterwards. Imam Nawawi, rahmatullahi alayhi, who was a great alim of hadith and also of fiqh of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he wrote commentary on the Sahih of Imam Muslim, and he also wrote Sharhul Muhadhab, which is the commentary on the Shafi'i fiqh. And he also wrote many other books in akhlaq and tasawwuf and, in other subjects. Some ulama, after his death, combined all those works together. How much he has written, not how much he has read. How much he has written, all the pages he wrote with his hand, no typing, no voice dictation, AI, handwriting, not with our pens. Our pens have inbuilt ink, right? With pens that after 2-3 words, again you have to dip and take ink, dip and take fresh ink. And then after writing a page, you have to let it dry before you move on to next page, and the paper was not easily available, the ink was not easily available. In those conditions, after his death, when they put together all the pages he compiled, he wrote, when they were divided to his age, from the time he was born until the time he died, although nobody writes, you know, after his birth immediately, it takes years, especially, you know, if you are writing something of knowledge, something of wisdom, it takes time to learn and to become mature, and then to have your own, you know, ideas, your own opinions, and then you express yourself. But somehow they divided from the time he was born until the time he died. That was 16 pages a day, 16 long pages a day, not short pages, long pages. You know, you have A4 size and you have office size, somewhere a little bit above the office size. How that was possible? Well, that is possible because Allah Azza wa Jalla has given human being capabilities. In terms of ilm, you can seek ilm as much as you can. If you want to seek knowledge, you can seek knowledge. If you want to do amal, you can do amal. Alhamdulillah, we are doing whatever we can. Alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jal. But we can add always more. We can add some nawafil into our daily routine. Why not? If we are already, mashallah, performing faraid and sunan, we can add some nawafil. 2 rak'ah, for example, after maghrib. 2 after isha, for example. 2, you know, at the time of tahajjud. 4 at the time of tahajjud. We can always add nawafil. It was very common practice of the Salaf that they always used to have nawafil in their account, because they used to see that, I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't want to go empty-handed. I just want to take something so that Allah Azza wa Jal can say, okay, mashallah, you have done. Although what you have done may not be sufficient, but you have tried your best. You have tried your best. Even people who were not considered very pious and very God-loving and God-fearing, you know, people of ruling class, like politicians, people who were involved in administration and, you know, government, usually these people are considered normal people, right? They also used to have good account of nawafil. What about ulama and the pious people? We cannot even imagine how much they used to do. The common people, they always used to have nawafil, because that is possible. During the Umayyad period, there was a famous governor called Hajjaj. Hajjaj, you know, is well known for his injustice and for his tyranny. Hajjaj, he killed lots of people. Hajjaj was very brutal. Anybody who would oppose him, he would just kill him. This is how the history tells. Allah knows best. This is what we have in the books of history. But this is one side of his story, that Hajjaj was such and such and such. But Hajjaj did something which we are all benefiting from. In the early period of Islam, when the Quran was written, because Arabs, they knew the language, right? So they can easily read the Quran. In the Quran, there were no dots, no nuqtas. For example, you have yu'minun, right? Ya has dots, noon has dot, another noon also has another dot. So in the early period when the Quran was written, it was written without dots, because people used to learn the Quran from their memory, and then the writing is just there to help, just to recall. And also, if you read with the meaning, with understanding, you can easily figure out if it is yu'minun or tu'minun, if it is ya or ta, ya'lamun or ta'lamun. Right? But the meaning is different. Ya'lamun, they know. Ta'lamun, you know. Yu'minun, they believe. Tu'minun, you believe. But there were no nuqtas in the early period of Islam. Hajjaj is the one who instructed that, mashallah, Islam is prevailing everywhere. And now we have more and more people into Islam. So it's going to be very difficult for people to recite the Quran without nuqtas. So we should actually have nuqtas, so that people can read with accuracy. Obviously, later on we also have tashkil, we have i'rab, fatha, dhamma, kasra, zabar, zair, pesh. In the early period, there was no such thing. So Hajjaj is the one who instructed, and now, mashallah, we are all benefiting from the work of Hajjaj. It is said about him that he used to pray 200 nawafil every night. 200 nawafil every night. And he was not an alim of his time. He was not a big pious person of his time. He was a common man. In fact, he was a worldly man. He was a governor. And he was not famous for any good things. He was famous for his, you know, brutality, for his injustice. But even such people, they used to work hard for their akhirah, because they knew that this worldly life, you know, is very limited. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has prepared akhirah for us. And akhirah is far better than this life. وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. Akhirah is better for you than this life. So the time should be invested for akhirah. The energy should be invested for akhirah. Our skills, our talents, they should be invested for akhirah. Because the return in akhirah is far greater and far more than the return in this life. You work for 1 hour, how much you're going to be paid for? Whatever. $20, $50, $100, $1,000, less, more. The amal that we do for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal in 1 hour, the thawab in akhirah cannot be matched with the return in this dunya. For example, if a person sits down and recites Suratul Kahf on Friday, the ajr of Suratul Kahf on Friday cannot be matched with the whole world. If a person prays 2 rak'at after sunrise, the ajr and the reward of these 2 rak'at, 4 rak'at after sunrise cannot be matched with anything. How much money people have to pay for going for umrah? Ask people. And how much you have to pay for hajj? MashaAllah, after Ramadan, hajj will be very, very soon, right? A person sits in his place after Fajr Salah, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he prays 2 rak'at, he prays 4 rak'at for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He will have the ajr of full umrah and full hajj. The amal of akhirah cannot be matched with the return of this dunya. So the Anbiya alayhi salam, they always had this yaqeen in akhirah. They had clear knowledge of the reward in akhirah. That's why they worked hard. And that's why it was easy for them to work hard. Sometimes we read in the books of, you know, history, books of ahadith, things which are almost unbelievable. There was a great muhaddith. He went to Basra. Basra is in Iraq. to ask about a hadith or about a mas'ala. So there was a particular alim, he knew that this alim, he knows that hadith or that mas'ala. He went, and somehow he was told that, no, I don't have that knowledge. There is somebody in Sham, you go and ask him. So he traveled all the way from Basra to Sham. Some ulama have said to their students that now, mashallah, you are enjoying the luxury of knowledge, because knowledge is available to you. They used to consider that to be luxury, that books have been compiled and the teachers are available. You can learn anything, you can ask anything. He is saying to his student that we used to travel for learning one thing here, learning one thing there, one thing here, one thing there, one ayah here, one hadith here, one tafsir here. So he said, on my foot, I have traveled 2,000 farsakh. Farsakh is about 6 kilometers, thousands of kilometers on foot they travel. What about the rest of the journey, on camel or on horses, for seeking ilm? And that's how they collected knowledge, they collected ilm of hadith, ilm of tafsir, ilm of Quran, ilm of sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The point, my brothers, that one of the great qualities of Anbiya alayhi wasallam is uluwul himma, and that quality also was transferred to Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Sahaba, they also had great himma. They will not accept anything below their standard. For them, nothing was impossible. Nothing was impossible. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when some of the Arab tribes, they left Islam, because some of the Arab tribes, they said that at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we used to give zakat, but now we will not give zakat. The Prophet is not there, why should we give zakat? When the Prophet was there, we used to give zakat and he used to make dua for us. He's not there anymore, we will not give zakat. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu considered denial of zakat to be irtidad. Irtidad yani rejecting Islam. Irtidad yani challenging Islam. A person is rejecting Islam, abandoning Islam, and also going against the state, going against the Muslims. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said that, I am going to fight anybody who would differentiate between Salah and Zakat. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they were saying, how can you fight? These are Muslims. Abu Bakr said, no, they're not Muslims. They're denying Zakat. They are denying a rukn of Islam. I will not tolerate this. I will not allow this while I am alive. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he remained firm and he remained very clear. And he fought against them and he defeated them. So the fitna, khalas, stopped. If that was allowed, then we will not have Islam anymore. Because every now and then somebody will say, no, this is not Islam. Somebody will say, no, you don't have to do this. Somebody will say, you don't have to do this. Islam will not be there anymore. Allah Azza wa Jal gave Anbiya alayhi salam uluwul himma. And from the uluwul himma of Anbiya alayhi salam, Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, they also got uluwul himma. And the Muslims, the common Muslims, they can also gain from the uluwul himma of Anbiya and of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, as long as we seek help from Allah Azza wa Jal. And as long as we remain in the company of the people who have uluwul himma. If you remain in the company of the people who have uluwul himma, Allah will give tawfiq. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.